Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Welcome to the Leytonstone Loves Film 2021 podcast series. My name is Stuart Wright, and regular listeners will know I've been the host of Britflix podcast since 2013. For new listeners who came here for the Leytonstone Loves Film 2021 content, I've been a resident of Leyton for over 20 years, and I'm proud to be part of a film festival happening right on my doorstep in East London, UK. Leytonstone Loves Film 2021 is a free 4-day film festival and really has something for everyone of all ages who can make it to the birthplace of one of cinema's greats, Alfred Hitchcock. It runs from Wednesday 15th September to Sunday 19th September in outdoor and indoor venues along the Leytonstone High Road and across town. There'll be open air film screenings in Langthorne Park and indoor events in Leytonstone Library, St John's Church, Philibrook, Heathcote and Star, Nexus Centre, online and more. As well as films, there'll be talks, installations, trails and workshops. The Leytonstone Loves Film 2021 podcast series will be 10 podcasts in total. 9 are released on Friday, 3rd of September. Each of those podcasts feature 3 or 4 preview interviews with the filmmakers and or film organisations taking part in the 4-day event. A 10th podcast will be released late September, look back on highlights from Leytonstone Loves Film 2021. The show notes include the names of the guests and organisations featured in this episode, links to the main Leytonstone Loves Film 2021 website, as well as links to specific parts of the programme that feature in this episode. That includes the what, the where and the when. It just needs me to say, on with the interviews and enjoy this episode of the Leytonstone Loves Film 2021 podcast series. Who are you? And who or what do you represent?
So I'm Anthony and Sarah, and together we are Forest Film Club. So we've been working together for, I think, around 2 or 3 years, where we've been running events. And we used to have a monthly screening event where we would show short films in Leytonstone. And that got curtailed a little bit by the pandemic and everything that's been going on. So we're really looking forward to doing our first live event again in September with Leytonstone Loves Film. I think we kind of represent short filmmakers who are new or in their early part of their career, and just giving them some support, somewhere to show their film, and kind of offering advice and stuff if we can as well.
And what instigated the film club?
That's a good question. I think I met Anthony because I got in contact with him because he was showing a short film in Walthamstow, and I had just started making short films myself, and I was quite interested in the process of screening them. So I offered to come and help him out. And then we just got chatting about film and how it was kind of a shame that broader audiences don't get to see short films, because I really, before I started making them, I couldn't probably name you more than about 5 short films. And I didn't really know much about them. And we were sort of talking about how that's a shame that more people don't get access to them. And then, so we just got chatting, and I'm not really sure how it came about, but we just thought, oh, wouldn't it be really cool if we ran our own short film night in Leytonstone? And it just kind of, I mean, Anthony, you hopefully have a better memory than I do. That's kind of what I remember it happening. We had a conversation. We were like, we should just do it.
I think so, yeah. I think I'd kind of had it in mind for a little while. So I think I'd run two events before. So I'd done an event as part of the Leytonstone Festival where I'd screened some local short films. And it was something I wanted to do, but like kind of on my own. It was just something like just doing it, just the two of us has been a lot of work putting it in, finding the films, choosing the films that people have sent in, and just like the tech on the night and advertising. You know, there's so much that goes into it, really, and you might not realise, but I wanted to do it. And then the second screening I did was for, I made a couple of my own short films, so I screened them with some other shorts. And that's the one that we'd been put in touch, I think. We'd spoken and she came up, Sarah came along and helped. And then, yeah, I think from there, we just kind of gone, you know, it was something, I think Sarah kind of, like, we'd had that conversation, like she said, and we just talked about it, and it was something I wanted to do, and Sarah was up for it as well. So it just kind of was like, okay, with the two of us, it'll be, you know, it's still hard work, but a bit easier than if I do it on my own. And I think we just got on well, and we just thought, why don't we do it? And we started doing it monthly then.
What does Leytonstone Loves Film mean to you?
Personally, I was born and grew up in Leytonstone, so the area itself means a lot to me. I love Leytonstone, and it's incredible. It has, the community itself is just such a great one to be in. And Leytonstone Loves Film just adds so much more to that. Like, we were obviously doing an event in Leytonstone before Leytonstone Loves Film was created. Mm-hmm. So when that came along, it was just like, oh wow, now there's going to be so many more amazing events going on here, and everybody gets to see what a great town this is, and it brings people to where I grew up so they can see it, and then the whole community gets to see how much we love film and how, you know, and how passionate we are about what we do. And so just as an event, it was just an amazing opportunity for a lot of people who I don't think would have ever had that opportunity without it.
Yeah, and I think for us, it was really nice to be, Sarah's already touched on it, but just to be part of a bigger thing. So it was really nice doing our own event, and we had people coming along, and we had people that would come every month, and we got to meet lots of different filmmakers. But in terms of like the community of Leytonstone and the film community in Leytonstone and Waltham Forest and other people doing similar events, we didn't necessarily connect with those people until Leytonstone Loves Film. So now we've met all these other people that are from the borough and running events in the borough. And it just feels nice to be not just isolated, not just on our own, but kind of be part of something bigger.
So in a way, it's like Leytonstone Loves Film is like a bit of a kind of annual celebration of what everyone's up to in the local area.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good way to put it, I think, yeah.
So you've already hinted at it, but what exactly are you going to be contributing to Leytonstone Loves Film, and where will people find you?
So we've got two events. Mm-hmm. So we've got an interactive quiz, which came about really because Anthony and I have obviously met some incredible actors over the years, being... I've worked a lot with amateur theatre, and Anthony through Making Films has met a lot of actors, and we were talking about sort of mixing up acting and theatre and film, and we were trying to figure out a way to do it. And I've been really heavily involved with the Woodhouse Players, who are based in Leytonstone, for a few years now. And we came up with an idea of doing an interactive film quiz. So it's a quiz, but with actors acting out the clues for you. So that should be really exciting. I love quizzes, and I don't think I've ever been to a quiz like this. So if we pull it off, it should be pretty cool. And you can find that at the Heathcote and Star on Wednesday, the 15th of September. So that's our first event, and Anthony can tell you about the second one.
Yeah, so the second one is kind of back to our roots. We're going to be hosting a short film screening. So we've got six short films from filmmakers that have, so it's kind of friends of Forest Film Club, so they're all filmmakers that have screened with us before, people that we've met, so they've all got new films that they've made in the last kind of 12 months or so. So we're going to be really excited to be screening their films. So six short films with a Q&A with the filmmakers, so hopefully All of them or most of them will be there on the night, so the audience will be able to ask them questions as well, which is always nice to have that kind of interaction with between the filmmakers and the audience. So we're having our film screening at the Filly Brook, and that's on Thursday, the 16th of September.
Fantastic. Now, outside of what you'll be contributing, what particular aspect or specific event at Leytonstone Lust Film are you looking forward to?
We've been in the meetings with all the different people, and everything genuine that people have said, it's just sounded really great and really interesting for what they're doing. There's Gotcha, who is a filmmaker who we've screened at Forest Film Club. She's doing some events around Turkish films. So I think that'll be really interesting because Turkish film is not something I know about already. So I think that'll be really, really interesting. And there's lots of other events that are going on. I'll definitely be trying to check out as many of the events as I can, because we've been to different events for the last couple of years, and they've all been really, really great.
Yes, I too am looking forward to all the events that will be going on. I think more than that, though, not just the events, being a big fan of Leytonstone, obviously, I'm a great fan of how many venues they're using. I think the venues they've used over the last couple of years have benefited massively from the influx of people that we have that come to Leytonstone for this festival. I said I've lived there my whole life, and there were still venues I had never been into until the festival. So in terms of that, I think it will be great for Leytonstone. And yeah, like Anthony said, all the events are incredible. And there really is such a mix for every type of person. There's something for everyone.
What is it about the shared experience that benefits film so much?
I'm not sure how to answer this, but I think that the shared experience is really important. I think it's a really good question. There's just something about sharing it with other people. And I think that it's really great with short films, because it's quite short content. So, in terms of attention span and as well with the audience. But I think we've been really fortunate that we've had some really great audiences come to some of our previous events. And it just, you get that atmosphere in the room. And it's really great, especially if it's a comedy, you know, people are laughing along at the same time, and, you know, you can feel the tension in the air if it's a bit of a suspense or a horror. And I think it just adds to your overall experience. It helps to kind of pull you in. Whereas, you know, if you're sat at home watching on a TV screen or a phone or something like that, you don't get that kind of the atmosphere that's kind of like bubbling around, that kind of it heightens your experience of the film, I think. And it's also really great for the filmmakers. So the filmmakers that are there, they can be in the room and they can see how the audience responds to their film. And most of the times that's, you know, very positively. And that can be really great as a filmmaker. You know, we're both filmmakers ourselves, and you know, it can be really nerve-wracking to show your film and be there while there's other people that have not seen it before. But if they respond, you know, if they laugh in the right places, or there's a tear at the end, or whatever it is that you're trying to get from an audience with your film, you know, it is just a really wonderful experience to have people respond to your film, hopefully in a positive way.
Anything more you can add to that?
It's that, and it's also, there's just something about it. You can sit down with a young person and you can have 30 years difference between you and the person next to you, and you can watch this film and you can go through something together. I don't know. I've seen films that I genuinely feel like have changed me. And I've also seen films and I've thought, oh my God, I never want to watch that again. But the person next to me thought it was the greatest thing ever. I think that's what I love about film. Obviously, I love when you can talk to people about how great something is, but I love, I think, even more the conversations I have about films, where I'll say, oh, I loved this bit, and somebody would say, oh, that really didn't work for me, actually. I think if they'd done it like this, it would be even better. I love how you think that you have a lot in common with a person, and then you hear their top 10 favourite films ever, and you go, wow, okay, didn't think you were a fan of that, or whatever it is. It's yeah, it's a great conversation piece, I think.
For the local or young filmmaker, or short filmmaker, sorry, should I say, who might be listening in, how can they, outside of Leytonstone Loves Film, how can they find you to share with you their films to potentially get them shown at your film club?
The best way is probably to go through our website. If they're on Film Freeway and they're already sending their films into festivals, if they know how to do that, then we're on Film Freeway. We're not open at the moment just simply because we're not sure what's going to happen with our live events. So we're going to do this event at Leytonstone Loves Film, and hopefully that's the first of another bunch. Hopefully we get back into doing the live events. But yeah, so Film Freeway, if they're already kind of know what Film Freeway is and they're kind of on that. Otherwise, we've got a website, which is forestfilmclub.co.uk, I want to say.
Yeah, I think so. I think that works.
And we're also forestfilmclub@gmail.com. So they can send us an email on there, and we always try to get back to anybody if they've got a film that they want us to watch, or if they want kind of pointing in the right direction, and we can kind of help them in terms of where they are with their filmmaking.
Brilliant. Well, look, it just gives me to say thank you very much for giving us your time on the BritFlix podcast.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you. It's been lovely.
You are listening to the Leytonstone Loves Film podcast series. Leytonstone Loves Film returns for a third year from the 15th to the 19th of September 2021. Across 4 days, Leytonstone in East London will be host to a variety of free events brought to you by local filmmakers and film organisations. Let's get back to the interviews. Who are you and who or what do you represent?
I'm Ben.
I'm Anna.
And we are The Social Cinema. We're a community interest company based in Walthamstow. And we run events and film screenings. We started off with an outdoor cinema program in the park near us on a pay what you can afford model. And we're running that program again this summer. And we've also started producing sort of events and sort of less traditional film-based events.
Yeah, okay. Trying to use cinema in a broader way so that it becomes more of an experience, and trying to bring people outside their houses, especially, you know, the pandemic, it's been particularly difficult to have events that are community-based and sharing experiences with the community, with others. So we're trying to give that in some ways with cinemas, but, you know, different media as well.
What does Leytonstone Loves Film mean to you?
Yeah, so I came to know Leytonstone Loves Film because I work for a company which is called Insight Lighting. Mm-hmm. And we do lighting and projections, and we have worked with the Barbican quite a lot in the past.
Got you.
And for the first film festival, we did the technical install for the majority of the venues. I think there were about 8 venues that we were running the projection side of things.
Oh, yeah.
And since then, we've been back to the subsequent festival. And it's just been a really nice way to sort of meet a very local and passionate community. And yeah, you know, really to see the kind of creativity and drive of this really close-knit community.
And I have enjoyed past editions, like, as part of the audience, obviously.
Okay.
No, I mean, it's a great festival. It's just lovely to have something that shows something that is very difficult to find generally, kind of this community-led projects that are really part of the area where you live, and they talk about what's also happening in the area and make you know the projects and the creativity of where you live. So I think it's just really nice to have something that is part of the community where you live, rather than a big cultural event that is, you know, offered by a big institution talking about or showing you, you know, artists that are amazing, but it feels always as something apart from your life, completely different, that happens elsewhere. Well, I think what's lovely and what's great about Leighton Stone Love's films is that it talks a lot about the community where we live. And I think that's what is very good about it.
So in a way, what you're saying is it's almost like its ability to show what's possible living in Leytonstone and the surrounding area, as opposed to what's just entertaining.
Yeah. And it also feels more like a dialogue rather than something is not like such a passive fruition as in some other instances where...
Got you.
You are, you know, yeah, consuming culture, and it's beautiful and it's great, but it doesn't feel like part of your daily life, while here it's more like a dialogue. I mean, I don't know, what do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's very embedded within the community,
yeah.
And it's not, yeah, an imposition.
No, that's right, though, because often things can helicopter in, land, show you something fantastic and go. Whereas I get the impression from the interviews I've done over the entirety of this series is that people that were lucky enough to be at the first Leytonstone Loves film are very much in touch with people that they met at Leytonstone Loves film as a point of discovering other creatives in the borough.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I'm not accusing big museum shows of being the equivalent of a hostile takeover.
No, exactly. But, I mean, we have enjoyed, you know, the Tate and all the big institutions art, you know, very much in our lives, but it always feels like something apart.
Oh no, I mean, I live near one of the parks in Leighton, and that was a secret cinema. But if you didn't have a secret cinema ticket, it didn't include you. So you know, those kind of things do happen, and they're exciting, but they are exclusive. Whereas I think Leytonstone Loves film, its inclusivity, and like you say, I think the word you use, dialogue, is a very good one to describe what's going on. What will you be contributing to Leytonstone Loves film?
We're going to make a visual scavenger hunt, which is aimed to be very accessible, so you know, children and adults alike can participate. And there will be numerous small installations which span the length of the high road, which will be indicated on a map, which is produced in tandem with Jake Green's Short Circuit program.
Okay.
So both of our sort of mini installations will be on the same map. So there'll be a walking trail co-produced by us, which is designed to connect the larger hub venues, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Our program will be called Light Entertainment. And yeah, it's five little installations which are exploring what moving image, or exploring what constitutes moving image, and the point at which moving image becomes animation or illusion.
Okay.
So it's kind of touching at points within maybe the genesis of moving image and looking at how you can create something akin to life. A lot of it will be done with analog technology and fairly non-lens-based approaches. So, for instance, there will be a slide projection animation,
okay,
which will constitute two slide projectors and a small motor, which turns a disc in front of both of their lenses. And there's a cutout in the disc which allows one slide projector to be on and the other off.
Mm.
And this will essentially be one frame a second, and there will only be two frames, but you are presented with quite a believable animation of two footballers heading a ball to each other, a line drawing.
Yeah, we will play, you know, with slide projectors. You know, there will be a disco ball. There will be, you know, basic CCTV cameras. You know, we're playing with this kind of technology. But, you know, like, it sounds quite complicated and serious if we put it like this, but mm-hmm. it will be playful. So, yeah. like, the idea is that, you know, people will try to find these installations because the map will be quite generic. So the idea is just also to go and try to find them. And I think we will have little captions, you know, just to give mm-hmm. interesting facts or explaining how that is made, you know, sure. just to make it really playful, which is something that in general we're also trying to mm-hmm. achieve with our events, just give a bit, you know, put a bit of playfulness in the use of technology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're really interested in showing, because often with a cinema or a screening experience, you're presented with the screen and the means of production is entirely obscured from you. You're looking at the screen. But instead, we kind of, as well as seeing the imagery as much as possible, we're going to have the way that the image is produced very visible. So you can understand the direct relationship between the medium and the message, I guess.
So, out of interest, what inspired this concept? Because, you know, it's a really interesting sort of way of sort of showing and deconstructing the moving image. Where did that come from?
I mean, I think a lot of it is from my work at Insight Lighting. It's a small family business run by Brendan Clark and Emma Smith, who are kind people, and they've been working with projection and lighting sort of, I guess, since the 80s, kind of coming out of the rave scene. And as a result, they have a huge collection of analog, disco and ephemera. So I've just discovered, yeah, you can accomplish really beautiful and interesting things with very, what would be considered old-fashioned or outdated equipment.
Got you.
With this sort of kit, you can see it and see what it's doing, and that's interesting. It's not a digital thing where you take it apart and you don't understand what it is and you can't fix it. You can modify it in a very physical realm, and to make it haptic, to make it something that's there and embodied, I like the directness of that.
Yeah, I mean, and also just it's nice to use this kind of equipment and do, you know, and offer entertainment for children, for a generation that, you know, has no idea.
Right.
You know, most of them, I don't want to generalize, but, you know, we also have two young children and they have like a toy camera. And they have no idea what that is, you know. They play with it and we just, you know, we try to show them. So we have showed them a camera, but, you know, it just makes you think about, mm-hmm. You know, the difference of, you know, how this generation is growing up. I mean, which is not necessarily a bad thing, you know. But, you know, it's nice also to show them this kind of stuff. And play with it in a creative way.
Yeah, and we do want, I think, you know, I probably talk too much about the kind of geeky side of it that I get into, but essentially it's going to be, yeah, it is designed to be light entertainment, as the title suggests. So we're going to do a kind of rear window selfie booth. So it's like those films from, I don't know, the 60s and 70s where you have the car sequence and the what's happening behind the person driving clearly isn't real life, but it's a rear projection. And
yeah,
so,
yeah, to give the illusion of the car moving.
But it's obvious that it's done with a film projector. And we've got some archive 16mm footage, which has been digitized of a high-speed car chase up a windy road in the south of France. And we're going to produce the sort of silhouette of the back pillars of a car. so people can sort of sit and pose in front of it for their sort of social media car chase
well,
moment. I mean,
well, not social media necessarily, but just play with it. You know, pretend they are, you know, being chased by a very fast
Ferrari. You can be James Dean.
I suppose in an age where I can use augmented reality via Instagram or whatever other app I want to use, the idea of sitting in front of a silhouetted shadow of a car in front of a moving image to make it look like I'm driving down a road in France
is a very
immediate experience where you can see where the lines are drawn. I mean, sure. I've got no idea how Instagram makes my eyes goggle, but it does it quite easily, you know. Whereas obviously if I sit down in a chair and then see the footage of me driving through France, I am aware of what the processes I've been through. I think there's a lot of what, while digitalization is convenient, it takes away a lot of the general magic, which is everything's a kind of chemical reaction and or trick of light.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and this kind of basic, more primitive, you know, systems and effects are, you know, just really fun anyway, you know, once you, you know, just see them. They're just I think it's going to be really fun and really nice. And it doesn't matter if younger generations haven't experienced and they look old fashioned. I don't think it matters in the end. I think it would be fun. And I think it's nice to show that.
Yeah. And I think they're, you know, designed, you know, as much as possible, we've designed them to be interactive or engaging. We're going to do something with some CCTV cameras and some old television monitors, some big CRT monitors.
Nice.
And kind of very 80s video mixing desk. So you get all of these crazy video effects. So you'll be on camera, but there'll be a lot of primitive kind of digital noise and rainbowing sort of things going on.
Yeah, just also kind of encourage participation. That's another thing. That, I mean, it's not always easy, of course. But yeah, this other installation will try to encourage people to modify what happens on the screen ultimately and play with it. And that's another way to just show how, you know, this kind of old-fashioned equipment can be not only fun, but also creative because, you know, then the image is very abstract, will be ultimately be pretty abstract, but can be modified if you jump inside.
Yeah, I mean, I've interviewed plenty of filmmakers who've sort of told me why they prefer shooting on 16mm as opposed to digital, where obviously digital can be put through a filter, makes it look like film, but the uniformity of that effect means that it can never completely replicate the organic experience of what's happening when light and chemicals combine to make that moving image on a 16mm film.
And I don't think it's just a nostalgic instinct either. You know, there are real sort of observable things, like you can get really inky blacks on film that you'll never get from a digital projector, or there's something quite magical about the quality of a, you know, good gallery CRT monitor that's very different to a plasma screen. So it's kind of embracing the quirks and idiosyncrasies of different media. And we're not doing just analog things, you know. We're gonna make a primitive television out of LED light strips as well. So it will have probably about 100 pixels.
Yeah.
So it will be blocky lights, which are attempting to show a video. And it's will, I hope, kind of hover between a sort of in-your-face disco look, but also you can kind of read it as a TV as well.
What aspect of Leytonstone Loves Film are you most looking forward to?
I always like the short films because it's something that unless you're really kind of, or at least I feel, unless you're really keyed into that world or that community, they're more difficult to access. You know, there isn't the big studio or festival circuit or cinema releases of them. So yeah, I really like always seeing the short films. I think it's a really sort of interesting form.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it's all, I mean, just the festival also format, I think, is always really great. You know, just this idea of being able to see many different things, you know, in a short amount of time and having an idea of what is going on, in this case, in the borough, creatively, I think is, you know, what's really amazing about festivals. Yeah, they give you an idea of what's going on. And also like the unexpected, you know, like this, you know, because otherwise cinema or other, you know, or exhibitions or theater, you always, you know, often tend to go and book and look at something that you know a little bit,
yeah,
at least at what's more familiar to you, while festival just can really surprise you, or, you know, you just get to know something,
yeah,
you
totally
had no idea
and you wouldn't have found.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have found, or, you know, mm-hmm, you know, just really source of real inspiration of something you had no idea existed, or you had no idea you would like,
yeah,
or find inspiring. So no, I think that's what I like about this.
2 years ago, there was a, you know, an example of that. I saw a film at Leighton Stone Loves Film, and it was called The Gleaners, or I think Le Glaneur. It's a French film, and okay, it's essentially about people who I guess live on the margins of society, but they make either an income or, you know, supplement an income by sort of picking up waste or discarded items and fixing them or consuming them or selling them. So people picking up broken fridges from the streets and fixing them, or people going to the fields after the crop had been harvested and taking what was left, kind of with tacit permission from the farmers. Mm-hmm. It was just an excellent film that, you know, explored something that, yeah, like you say, you never would have known even to look for.
What is it about film that works best as a shared experience, and sort of maybe inverting that on what you're proposing to do, which is, you know, there's a shared experience, I guess, if families are doing things together, of unpacking and engaging with what you're offering. So there's also that kind of shared experience to consider as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a big question, definitely. I mean, yeah, as you say, surely if you watch a film at home as a family, it is still a shared experience. So why should we all go out and share it with other people we don't know? That is a very good question. So yeah, I mean, I would struggle to say exactly why, but I mean, definitely my experience is that, yeah, I mean, we definitely need to share things with strangers. Probably we all need to feel like we are part of a community. Definitely that, you know, it's difficult to explain why, but that's a very important aspect of our life.
Now, for those listening in who maybe aren't in the borough or won't be able to attend Leighton Stone Loves Film, how can they find out more about the social cinema?
We have a website, which is socialcinema.london, and we're on Instagram at socialcinemalondon.
It just gives me to say thank you very much for giving us your time on the Britflix podcast.
Thank you very much, Stuart. It was great to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you.
You are listening to the Leighton Stone Loves Film podcast series. Leighton Stone Loves Film returns for a third year from the 15th to the 19th of September 2021. Across 4 days, Leighton Stone in East London will be host to a variety of free events brought to you by local filmmakers and film organisations. Let's get back to the interviews. Who are you and who or what do you represent?
So my name is Anthony Andrews. I'm the co-founder and creative director of a company called We Are Parable. And we are a film exhibition company who are all about providing opportunities to audiences all around the UK to experience and respond to Black cinema in culturally relevant, memorable and unique ways.
When did We Are Parable start up?
So We Are Parable started up in 2013 when myself and my wife, Tian Andrews, we were watching one of our favourite films, And we realized that we had never seen that film in the cinema. The film was coming to America. We were both too young to have seen it in the cinema. And we were part of a generation where, you know, we grew up with that film, but we were too young to ever see it. And we felt like there are a number of people who were part of that generation who loved that film just as much as we did. So we felt that we would show that film in our local cinema. And, you know, as we started to organize that event, we started to think, well, actually, rather than simply sticking people in the cinema to watch the film, is there even more that we could do? So we thought about all of the elements about what we loved about that film. So whether it was the rose bearers, sort of adorning rose petals in people's feet, or was it about the music? Was it about the dancing? All of these things that we thought, oh, we could actually bring that into a cinema space. So that's exactly what we did. And we created this kind of, you know, this amazing experience of the celebration of Africa, from rose bearers to dancers to an arts and craft market happening in the cinema, in the foyer of a cinema. All of these things happening at once to really try and play with the conventions of what it means to go to cinema. And that was a sold out event. And, you know, it was only ever supposed to be one off event. But what it turned out to be was people asking for us to do it again and again and again. And, you know, 8 years later, we're still doing that. And it's all about the experience that we want to provide to our audiences.
What does Leytonstone Lost Film mean to you?
I think Leytonstone Lost Film means to me, it's about community through the shared love of film. I love how inclusive it is. You know, film can sometimes feel like quite an exclusive place,
yeah.
A place where some people may not feel welcome, some people may not feel represented on screen, or sometimes but even behind the screen. And I think the work that we want to do at Leytonstone Lost Film is to really break down some of those barriers and showing not only films that represent people that look like me and people that look like my wife, but also, you know, showing that there are people who are creating stories about us who look like us as well. So behind the screen as well. And I think Leytonstone Lost Film is a great conduit for that important conversation, that important dialogue to be had about, you know, Black people creating stories to see their, you know, see themselves represented on screen. So I think, you know, just by allowing the community to tell, you know, based on that film, what they want to see on screen, I think is only a positive thing for the area.
In that sense, then, what are you going to be contributing to Leytonstone Lost Film this year?
So this year is our third year being involved in Leytonstone Lost Film, and we've got two events I've got coming up. So the first one is called Raised Voices, and the idea behind that is that we work with a number of emerging Black filmmakers who are going to show their short films and contextualize them with a short Q&A. And it's really just showing the, you know, the wide breadth of diverse stories and unique stories that these filmmakers are bringing to the screen, and just giving them an opportunity to, you know, allow their films to connect with local audiences and to really be able to, like I said, contextualize their film to an audience. And then we have a screening of a film called West Indies by Med Hondo, which is a really controversial piece of work. I don't want to say too much about it. I think you should come and have a look at it. It's a film that doesn't get screened that often, simply because it is quite controversial. It is also extremely expensive to get to screen it anywhere. We've been very lucky to acquire it for this screening. But again, it's a film that talks about our lived experiences. And it's a really important film for people to see.
Is that a scripted film or is it a documentary?
It's a scripted film. It's a scripted film. Came out in the late 70s, I believe.
Oh wow!
And yeah, it's an incredible piece of work, and I really do want people to come out and see it.
What has made it important over time?
I think Med Hondo was one of those film directors who I don't think was really appreciated in his time, and I think, you know, one of the great things about doing the job that we do is being able to not only show films that are current and contemporary, but also to look back at, you know, the canon of black cinema,
yeah,
and realize some of the incredible storytellers that, you know, we didn't know about, but because we're in this industry, we're constantly finding out about. So, you know, this is not only an education for the audience, it's an education for us as well, because we're starting to find out about how, you know, great storytellers like Med Hondo, like Charles Burnett, were telling, you know, stories about us from, you know, the 60s and the 70s and the 80s back then. And those stories were so prevalent. And we feel that it's a responsibility to make sure that, you know, new generations are aware of the canon that comes before them in order to propel ourselves into the future and to continue to tell stories that resonate with our wider community.
Do you see films today where that where the influence of films like that are present today?
Yeah, I think it's in many different art forms. I think Steve McQueen is doing an amazing job at the moment, especially with the Small Axe anthology, where you can really see how important it is to, you know, take a lens on the past, and how we use that to create our future is massively important. And I think, you know, it seems like he's a great student of people like Med Hondo, people like Spike Lee even, who have chose to tell our stories in a very visceral way, in a very poetic way. So I feel like he's a real student in that respect. Someone like Barry Jenkins, and even thinking about someone who may not be known in the UK as much, but a director called Shola Amu, who directed a wonderful film called The Last Tree a couple of years ago. Mm. And you could really see the influences in you know, past black film directors and what he's trying to do to put his spin on it. So yeah, you definitely see a lineage in a lot of the work that that you certainly see today.
And where will people be able to see that as part of Lane Solo's film?
It's going to be in Langfone Park. We actually screened something there last year, and it's an incredible park. You know, we're going to have the outdoor screen and a few surprises as well, perhaps a few Q&As. We're looking at some other additional bits and pieces as well, so we'll be able to keep you posted on.
What particular aspect of Lane Stoller's film are you looking forward to most?
I don't think there's one particular thing that I look forward to when it comes to Lane Stoller's film. I think it's just about seeing people who might only have a passing interest or a passing kind of relationship with film actually sit down and watch a film together. I mean, when we did Raise Voices last year, you know, we had people, when we were setting up, we had people who were just walking past and saying, "Oh, is this free?" And, you know, they were saying it with almost like a trepidation to say, "Oh gosh, this guy's going to tell me it's 20 quid to come and sit down and watch this film." And it's like, no, it's completely free. Like, you can sit here and you can watch it. It's absolutely fine. And I think that is that, you know, like I said, it's that inclusive nature that I think film sometimes can lack is what, you know, and I really look forward to Latest Lover's film, because you get, you know, all, you know, it's such a generational slice of culture and community that you get in Leighton Stone. And I think that's represented at a number of the Leighton Stone Last Film events. So I just look forward to the community, you know, kind of rubbing shoulders, obviously socially distanced, but doing it in a way that, you know, that really shows the diverse nature of our community. So I think just seeing how the audience responds to so many different events around film is really important to me, and I think that's what I look forward to the most.
Yeah, and again, I guess what you're describing there as well is that idea of people just being able to happen on something, as opposed to, you know, going through a program and I must do this, I must do that. It's like the idea of wandering into the part into where you're showing a film and then just finding it that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you said you've got 8 years experience now with We Are Parable since you started. So what do you think what's been your observations as to why film works so well as a shared experience?
It's a piece of art, you know. It's something, you know, whenever we look at a painting, whenever we listen to a bit of music, whenever we see a play, everyone has a viewpoint on it. But I think, you know, with some of those things, you can sometimes do that alone, and sometimes you don't have an outlet to kind of share your opinions. But for the most part, you'll go to watch a film with other people. And I think there is something about a moving image telling a story that is so powerful that I think it just makes it the perfect medium for experience. It makes it the perfect medium for communication, for human and emotional connection. So I think, and I think that's only growing. So even though, you know, you have all these doom stories about these streamers coming in and killing cinema, I think that couldn't be further away from the truth. I think people still want to have that shared communal experience of watching a film together and feeling transformed by a film. Like the last film I watched that made me feel like that was Summer of Soul, and seeing that in the cinema and just being uplifted by the music and the context behind it was just so powerful. And I feel like you can only get that experience when you're in a communal place like a cinema. So, you know, that's what really makes our job so exciting, and also the art form of cinema so exciting.
Outside of Lane Stoller's film, how can people find We Are Parable?
You can find us by going to our website. It's www.weareparable.com. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at We Are Parable, all one word. And we're on Facebook as well. There's many ways that you can get in contact with us. We are currently working on a nationwide season called Who We Are, which is celebrating black cinema from all around the world. We're working in about 9 different cities around the UK, from Glasgow to Bristol to Exeter to Manchester, Liverpool, Birmingham, all over. And it's supported by the British Film Institute and the National Lottery, and it's running until October 2022. So even if you're just visiting Leytonstone and you're in another part of the world, there's probably a cinema that we're going to be operating that's near to you. So yeah, do check us out on our website or on our social media, and yeah, sign up for our, you know, for our updates and see what we're doing next.
And you say you're showing short films as part of your contribution. Are you finding filmmakers, or are filmmakers finding you?
It's a bit of both, in all honesty. You know, we did a call out for a couple of short filmmakers, and you know, I think people are getting really creative in terms of like being able to shoot films in the pandemic. So I think that's been great. I think it's been great for creativity. It's been great to see how the shift in tone has kind of moved, you know, as we've kind of experienced this, you know, this terrible time together. But yeah, we've been really lucky in terms of like filmmakers wanting to come to us, but then also us doing a call out and saying, yeah, filmmakers, send us your films and let's see what we can do together. So it's been a really nice combination of the both elements coming together.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, it just gives me to say thank you very much for giving you time on the BritFlix podcast.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
That's it for this episode of Leytonstone Loves Film 2021 podcast series. If you've got time, please remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you for listening. Leytonstone Loves Film is produced by The Barbican in partnership with local residents and organisations, and is commissioned by the London Borough of Waltham Forest, supported by Arts Council England.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.